always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And he looks so comfortable taking it, too. That was my sort of big misconception about him, was that he was a guy that it's like, if he doesn't have the three, like, he's just going to move the ball. And, like, you know, he's got to be wide open if he's going to shoot it. And I don't know if, like, JJ is his first coach to tell him, like, no, we want you to shoot no matter what. Like, just go ahead. Or if he's just feeling confident and good right now. But he has, you know, maybe it's just playing against Reed Shepard. He's feeling good.
He did this to close the season.
And Reed Shepard. I actually think he's going to be good. Like, I think he's been put in like an absolutely brutal spot with a coach who like seems to hate him personally.
He has the greenest light, though. Eventually. But what coach gives a player that green of a light that they hate?
Does he have a green light, or is that just how he plays?
Yeah, I think Ime would prefer he'd like. That's probably why he was in and out of the rotation, was because of like the Ime green light that Reed Shepard gave himself.
Ime said that KD was getting treatment, by the way. Okay. So I guess he was there.
Okay. I thought so.
I guess, and nobody saw him, but he was there.
Oh.
I believe him. Ime also said this. Did you guys see this one yet?
Coach, I know the game just ended, but in terms of the way the game just fell apart, and how was it from your vantage point?
Horrendous mistakes. I don't know if you want to say youth or... you know, scared of the moment or whatever the case, but you have a 6-point lead with 20 or 30 seconds to go, get a rebound and just have to hold the ball and get fouled, or, you know, it's basically a 1-on-4 and we throw it away. To combat it, make it worse, foul, a terrible foul on Marcus Smart to give him 3 free throws. Next play, backcourt, you got it. Double's coming, you try to split it instead of throwing it to Alpi wide open. Another turnover, and then James makes a tough shot. Then the final play for the last shot, we don't run what was drawn up. All the above.
We didn't run but what was drawn up, and then the little head nod is incredible.
I am just blown away at this dude. Like, I'm trying to... All right, here we go. I'll be back. All right.
I 100% thought that you were going to play us a clip of like Kirby there or something. I was like, when you're like, yeah, and Ime said this, I was like, which one of his like bag of soundboard tricks is he going to go to for this one?
No, I was actually being a producer while you guys were talking. It turns out when I have a guest, I can actually do other things. But yeah, like, I don't know how these guys were like this. I'm not going to jinx it. I'll stop myself short of actually going as far as I want to on here on this subject, but that's just one of those things, man, where that's not the message that your team needs to hear right now. You know, if you think that the way that they finished that game is because that they're young, right? Then you coach them through their youth. Like if you think this is one of those moments where like, or you think that they were scared of the moment that you think like, telling the world that they were scared is going to help them be less scared. I think this dude sucks. I think this, like, I think he had a good run there while Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were coming into their own, and he operated like you see the difference in Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics versus Ime Udoka and the Celtics. The dynasty started after you, dude. And he doesn't seem to understand why.
If you need someone to come in and humble your young guys, I think he clearly has shown that he is like good at that. He's good at getting guys to play hard. You know, like he has his merits as a coach. I just, again, like, you know, I think we talked about this earlier this week. I just wonder if he's like the new Larry Brown, where it's like, you know, year one, you get like a big turnaround, everybody's engaged, whatever. And then it's like, you just wear on people and you wear on people and you wear on people and you call your players bitches and you blame everyone else for every single mistake. And it's like, eventually, you know, you sort of lose the ears of everyone.
You allegedly conduct some other really unfortunate behavior and horrific judgment. But other than that, you know.
Yeah, I can't speak on that stuff. But I think that type of coach has kind of gone out of like out of the league, right? There's not a lot of those type left where they're just hard-nosed type of players. But I'm with you. I think that does work in the first year. Interesting enough, just full circle, I remember when he was coaching Boston, like he made Marcus Smart the point guard, and I think that's kind of helped Marcus become the level of playmaker. And to your point, I think he helps young guys in that way. But I think just from Ime's perspective, Harrison, you hit it on it earlier, I think he pressed the right buttons for a lot of this game. I mean, the Jayson Tate foul is just, I watched the replay on that, and I don't know what he was doing. Like,
and it's like, if he made the opposite decisions from what he made, then people would have been like, why are you subbing in Reed Sheppard for defense?
Right.
You know,
right,
like that kind of stuff. It's like, it's the same thing with all coaching criticism. It's like, they can't go out there and make the plays. It's just crazy for him to go out there and be like, they didn't run what was drawn up. It's not my fault. It's their fault. They're idiots. And they were scared.
Well, this is over. I think he realized, and I'm sure Houston does, this is over. Like, the saving this season or trying to softly get these guys through, or taking different approaches of, you know, we got to go at it a little bit different with this guy because it might hurt his, you know, feelings about it. I think they're done with that. I mean, that's what that presser is. I didn't watch it before we watched the show we started, but I saw like online kind of the conversations of what Ime was saying, and it feels like they just know this is over with. I'd be surprised if KD came back in game four. Like, this feels like it's done. You go down 3-0, you lose a game that you're supposed to win. I think that's where he's gotten to. He's just like, yeah, these guys are scared, which is a crazy thing to say about a team that won 50 games. I think they got 50 wins.
I'd agree with you if he hadn't been doing the same thing all year. It's like, you know,
yeah, that's maybe his criticism.
Yeah, like maybe change it up. Maybe you can inspire the guys. You know, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like a guy that's running around with honey.
Probably not. Well, I mean, according to...
I'm talking about the condiment of that is sweet.
Might use that too. in the building. I don't know, man. I you guys know this, you know, those of you who've been listening to the show for a long time. I can't stand leaders who never, ever, 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 ever look in the mirror. And he never seems to. It's
that was your big thing with JJ last year, was like, you can't just blame other people and then never sort of take accountability yourself. That was their big thing with Darvin, really, his whole tenure was like never taking accountability. It's like, I have no problem with a coach like Ime, like, throw, you know, like calling guys out and telling it like it is. But it's like, you got to say when you make mistakes, too. And I've never seen a tweet once where he's like, I should have done this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember my favorite thing.
He made a really, really, really big mistake.
My favorite thing before game two, he was talking pregame, and they were like, hey, Luke Kennard had like 27-5. Like, you know, what happened on your defense? He's like, that was a lot of randomness. It's like, randomness. He's like, yeah, they got a lot. It was a lot of randomness. It wasn't really a lot of calls.
In fairness, Luke getting 27-5 is pretty random. I would not have expected
that.
By design.
Yeah, but he's like, it was a lot of just random plays, random actions. And I was sitting there, I was like, I don't think it was very random at all. I think it was very intentional. I didn't say this, but like, I thought it was like pretty intentional actions. And then Luke Kennard had 23 that night again. And so,
I like the idea of you cutting him off mid-presser and just being like, it looked pretty intentional to me. And then him just staring at you for the rest of it.
Yeah, no.
No, that would be like, it would just be like, RIP, Raj. Like the Windhorse,
they play the Windhorse speech at his funeral.
Oh my god! Oh man!
Or even better, like, because that isn't really what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to like cut off the person that's in the scrum there like that. You know, it's like Windhorse would be like, everything I said, I take it back. That is not what Rush is supposed to do there. I want to, before we get out of here and before we answer some of the chat's questions, and thank you everybody for popping on here, please hit that like button, please hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube, all of that good stuff. The last guy that I want to shout out here is Rui, who started the game crazy hot, cooled off, I thought, started, I think, overthinking the game a little bit in the middle parts of the game. comes in the fourth quarter, immediately gives up 5 points by way of a split cut and going under a Reed Shepherd screen. And I'm thinking like, all right, cool. It's now that Rui game. But he gets his shit together and eventually makes some huge plays at the end of the fourth quarter and in overtime. And Harrison, we've been here for, well, I guess all of us, we've all been here for the full Rui experience.
Yeah.
But at any point during this playoff run, during March, during all this stuff, have you started thinking about like, what would it look like if Rui came back?
I've never given up on the idea of Rui coming back just because I don't know who the team out there is that we talked about this some this year too, of like, who's the team that's offering him more than what the Lakers can offer him using his bird rights. So like, I think there's actually a reasonable chance that he's back, and I would like to have Rui back. I think he's a useful player, and there's actually a lot of guys on this team, you know, Rui, Kennard, Marcus Smart, that like I would love to see back in a smaller role, you know, just one notch down in terms of importance for those guys, I think could make a huge difference. And you know, like Rui is a guy that has shown we talked about this earlier this week, he's a playoff riser. And he's a guy that like is not afraid of the moment. There was his first playoff series in Memphis, his first playoff game in Memphis. They're guarding him like he's Rondo. And he just like hits every single shot. And in the post game interview, they're like, yeah, well, I mean, there's no way he does that again. And they did the same thing and he did it again. He just like, he is sort of like unflat. He's an irrational confidence guy, but in sort of like a positive way. He doesn't take that many bad shots, but he just like, he never is gun shy. He's always willing to let it fly when he's open. And, you know,
and he's become an elite shooter.
Yeah.
Like, he's becoming all over the floor shooter. Too. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how when D'Lo was traded for DFS, the baton was passed from him to Rui of, hey, this is the player that will now shoulder everything, right? Whenever the Lakers are bad, it's trade Rui.
The top five on Fanspo, D'Angelo Russell.
Right, it's just going to be him. And yeah. he has the loudest mistakes, right? And LeBron makes sure the world knows about them sometimes. Like, he'll like point at him. And so, like, Rui, I think, eats a lot of that. But, yeah, we do this every year where in the playoffs, right, regular season versus playoffs, and that's a conversation now of 3-and-D wings that have no offensive utility that just become useless is too strong a word. But, like, they're not helpful anymore, right? Like, Mikal Bridges got benched in a playoff game for
Look at the guys that the Lakers are going up against in this series, right? Yeah. Like, right. All of these guys have like, really – put a ceiling on Houston's offense. And there are these guys that over the course of the year, everybody marvels at, like, oh my God, look at all the wings that Houston has. And then, you know, you watch them and you're like, damn, is Tari Eason going to make a jumper?
So you look at playoff defense, right? All that, like, you shoot 36% on open threes in the regular season and all fine and nice. But what do you do when teams are closing out, right? You are scouted. They know which side you like to attack closeouts from. Like, everything is scouted to the detail. And Rui's gotten so good at, like, that pirouette turnaround shot that he has in his bag, like, for that to be a release valve for the Lakers where they have nothing going, the ball swings around to Rui. He has a guy that's a little taller than him, like, a little bit quicker than him, but Rui has kind of the footwork to take a turnaround jump shot. He had a clutch one in game one over Amen Thompson. He had a clutch three tonight where, again, like, the closeout is right there. Like, that is good defense. He's just able to hit over it. And, like, to be this efficient, like, I think I've kind of – try to keep that in people's minds when they talk about Rui, because he's a guy that is thrown in trades way too easily for like nothing, right? We just got to make a move to
filler, but he's playoff riser, so it's kind of hard to consider him salary filler,
right? Yeah, and so he's
a guy that is like, he, the further you get in the, like, I guarantee you against OKC, some of Rui's flaws are going to be exposed, you know,
100%.
And like, he's not, I don't want this to come across as like they can never get rid of Rui for any reason, but they also don't need to just like lose him for nothing or give him away.
Right. Yeah. That's where I stand, is that like, they're going into this offseason, and especially with the chances now seeming pretty likely based on what I'm kind of hearing, that like, I think it's probably outright likelier that LeBron is back than not. And initially it was like, all right, well, if LeBron is coming back, you kind of sort of have to choose between him and Rui, but I don't want to lose Rui just to free agency. You know, like, he's too good to lose outright. He's not quite good enough to give a big raise to, but there aren't a whole bunch of teams that are looking to give him a big raise or a longer term contract. And also, like, you guys are right. Like, over the course of Rui's tenure here with the Lakers, as far as like players who rise to meet the moment or whatever in the playoffs, like, Rui's one of the first names that I kind of sort of think of. And you guys, you know, listeners are going to kind of freak out and take that out of context. Think of the kind of guys who haven't, you know, met that moment. You know, D'Angelo Russell comes to mind, and so on and so forth. But
Beasley,
yeah, Bees, and eventually Vando gets played out of series and all that stuff, right? So, like, Rui, though, like, he's a useful player. He plays an important position. Raj, you make a great point about him being this release valve that the Lakers have really, really benefited from. And also, like, this is going to sound cliche, and I'm going to make myself kind of sick saying it out loud, but he truly seems to relish being a Laker. And playing for the Lakers, especially a Lakers team that has expectations attached to it, is not easy. You know, like, there are plenty of maybe even more talented players who have come here and not played up to fan expectations in the playoffs. And then they walk away from it and they say, oh, fuck that fan base, fuck that team, fuck that city, fuck all the stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, Russell Westbrook, you were the problem. And like, with Rui, though, like, he seems to genuinely enjoy being a Laker. And I think that,
although I bet Rui would have some, if Rui's a name search guy, he's got some crazy stories to tell about this, this fan base on, like, a future player.
Sure. Pod, you know, podcast, probably.
He loves LA. And the funniest thing, the Lakers played the Wizards recently, and somebody asked, like, hey, do you still get, like, sentimental because you started your career in Washington? He's like, no, I actually wanted to leave, so I actually don't feel anything. Like, that's been my favorite part about, like, you learn things, like, covering the team. And Rui's one of the most transparent players. And I don't know if that's...
He's just me.
Yeah, he just says what he just... Rui. Well, he does... There's no filter. Like, I don't know if it's...
The clip earlier this year when he's like, I'm not one of the leaders. Like, that's not what I do. So good.
Like, when Luka smacked him on the sideline, right? And he's like, he's always messing with me. I didn't... Like, that's just one of those other moments.
I remember in preseason, this is like one of my first questions I asked, and I didn't know this about Rui, that he just says whatever, and says whatever's on his mind. So I was like, hey, Rui, like, what's the difference, like, when you don't play with LeBron? He's like, oh, yeah, I can drive more. He's in my way. I was like, what? Whoa. He's like, guy likes to post up. Like, I was like, oh, I was kind of a little nervous about the answer. Like, there.
He's 100% right, but just he's most guys right. would not say
yes,
it.
Yes, like, most people are like, oh, not much changes. I just shoot a little more. He's like, oh, like, he likes to post up. I can't drive when he's there, so I can drive a little bit more. Like, what? So yeah, I appreciate that about him. He's just super transparent. Like, the leadership, too. How many people would be like, yeah, you know, I try to lead my way. He's like, leader. I'm not no leader. He's like 27 years old, you know?
Like, he's like laughing at the question.
Yeah.
Like, he's like looking at the other
beer like, have you seen who else is on this team? Like, you think they're like, hey, Rui, what should we do right now? Like, no.
It's so good.
Did you imagine if
LeBron
tried
turns to his
lead?
Left, he's like, Rui, what do you think?
Do you imagine, like, Kyle gets around, LeBron is getting ready to talk everybody through a play. He's like, all right, guys, here's what we're doing.
Oh, man.
It probably wouldn't go very well. But yeah, I thought he was really good at this one, right? He finishes the game, 22 points, grabbed 4 rebounds, had a couple assists, 8 of 14 from the floor, 4 of 7 from 3-point range, and was, I thought, vital to the Lakers winning this thing in overtime. And, he is somebody who he's kind of grown on me during, you know, basically from March to now, beginning of March to now. All right, let's see if we have any super comments here before we get up out of here. And we used to have a tab for this. Doesn't look like we do. So I told Jen that this was going to be a shorter show. and it was not. Harrison, anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No. Just SB Nation. Raj Shapalu, the Brian Windhorst Rising Media Star Award winner. Raj Shapalu has been
based on like some radio person. I thought it was like Raj Cholula.
Raj has been killing it at SSR. I was actually reading his breakdowns of the last of game two going into today, just to like sort of get ready and get in the mood. And his breakdown of the Lakers, just like how they targeted Şengün and hunted him mercilessly and all of that stuff. He's doing a great job. That's what I have to plug.
Appreciate it.
Raj, are you also going to plug yourself?
I'm not sure. Do I plug Harrison?
Harrison's been editing some stuff really well, I guess. I don't know. Man. Sure. This has been an absolute blast. The Lakers move to 3-0 on the Houston Rockets. They have the opportunity to sweep the Houston Rockets on Sunday. And I do think they can do it if they open the game up quickly. If they jump out on top of Houston, I think that team is getting ready to quit on the coach that once again shat on them after this game.
Well, so, and Kevin Durant spent this game packing his stuff for the vacation. So it's like he's already ready to go.
No, Harrison, he was getting treatment.
Yes.
He was treating his clothes.
Hey, planning a vacation is mental health treatment, Anthony. Okay. Like a lot of people.
I just want to still be able to ask my pick and roll questions to KD. You know, that's what I'm hoping for.
Do you think KD's watching right now? He didn't even watch the game. Why would he watch a post game show?
No, because there'd be YouTube comments from somebody. Like, there'd be like,
yeah. All right. So that is going to do it, though. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. If you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get them. This show is brought to you in part in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA. To get $50 worth of free lineups when you play a $5 lineup after signing up. And until the next time you guys hear from us, which will be on Sunday after the game, I am Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Shapalu. That was also Harrison Fagan. And go fuck yourselves, Houston.
Bye, everyone.